title of the message is Navigating the Vision, right? This was not the title in October, just so you know. There's pieces of it that's in here, but it was not Navigating the Vision. And as many of you know, over the last 4 years, I have been navigating the vision and the call that the Lord has put on my life. And as I started sitting with him, he began to show me the worldly mindsets that I had and the worldly systems that were just taking over my entire life. And so over those past 4 years, I've really been detoxing from it and spending time with him. And so this message really is kind of breaking it down into what does that look like? I don't have all the answers, but I've got a few of them as I've walked through this journey, and I wanted to share with you guys today. And so how many of you have got or had a vision from the Lord? Everyone, every single one of us. He's called us with a purpose. How many, when he gave you that vision, you're like, can you give me a little bit more information? Just a little bit more, right? He just gives you, and sometimes they're the great grandiose pieces, and sometimes they're just really small, and you're going to be getting vision along the whole time in your journey. But this is the vision that he gives you is not just a quick, simple vacay, right? It is a journey to your destiny. And he knows what you need. And we are in a training ground to build up our muscles and prepare our hearts. That's exactly where he's placed us to be. He knows exactly what you need. He's called you specifically for a purpose, and he knows exactly what muscles you need to be working. And as I started building this out, it really reminded me of, I don't know if you guys have read this book. It's called Hind Feet on High Places. If you've read it, it is an amazing book and much of Freud's journey. She is going through, and she's got guides along the way, and it's rugged and it's rough and it takes some time. And sometimes she's going in the wrong direction and it doesn't make sense. But in the end, man, in the end, I'm going to share a little bit of that probably next week, because I don't think I'm going to get to it today. So the very first thing that when you're navigating the vision is to accept the call. Right? He's going to share something with you, and you've got the choice. He's going to give you the choice to say yes. Here's what I've called you to. Do you say yes? And honestly, probably for most of us, at least for me, I don't immediately go, yep, I'm in. The what ifs sometimes start coming in. Well, what if I don't have all the tools? What if I don't have the experience? What if you're calling me to another country and I don't want to move there? Yeah, I mean, whatever, right? All the what ifs come in. And where we're sitting is we're processing with him right then. Are we ready to accept that call? And so I kind of want to bring it into a little bit of biblical context. So a lot, I'll be talking about Abram and Sarai, because a lot of it will be prior to them being becoming Abraham and Sarah. And so I'm going to start with Genesis 12, 1 through 4. And I really wanted to sit with Abraham as he's the father of our faith, and you're going to see it as we kind of walk through it. So Genesis 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So all this talk about how old you are and where you're going does not matter. Does not matter. And so there's a couple footnotes as I was setting this that I wanted to share, because I think it brings out some of the main things that are going on, especially in these verses. God's invitation to Abram challenges him to abandon the normal sources of personal identity and security. Leave everything. Leave everything behind. Take nothing. His family and his country. And to obey, Abram must trust God implicitly. Completely. As I was studying, and I'll talk a little bit about this later, many times at this point, we want to take control. Right? We want to take over. He's given us a call. We're like, great, I know exactly what to do. No problem. I'll start executing that. And control means that we have a lack of trust. When you're trying to control something, you have a lack of trust. When I try to control my kids, I try to control a situation with my husband, I have a lack of trust. And so I think this is so big as we're looking through this, is when we start trying to truly control, are we trusting? Are we trusting what the Lord is saying? Are we trusting him implicitly wherever he's calling us to go? God's purpose for Abram that he become a great nation stands in obvious tension with Sarai's barrenness and the summons to leave his homeland, right? So Sarai, she was barren. It says in Genesis 11:30, she had no children. So now he's called him out, but Abram knows exactly the current situation. And all natural sources say, that can't happen. Doubt creeps in. And what the Lord had called him to is to surrender his old life, step into the new, and that's what the Lord's calling us to do, to leave our old life, our old mindsets, our old ways, and to step into the new life, our kingdom mindsets, our kingdom strategies, right? That's what he's called us for. And for me, bringing it kind of into a little bit of context, many of you know this story. I've known the Lord since I was 6 years old. Ebb and flow. I won't go through all the details today, right? It comes to, I'm sitting in this pew right over there at my grandma's funeral in 2015, and the Lord did a deep work that day, and it never stopped. He called me, and I felt it, and I knew I wanted more, and I started driving back and forth from Kansas City to come here because I knew I was supposed to be here. And one day in worship, he told me in a very fatherly voice, you were born here. I was born in this town. I placed you here. And I thought, okay, that's awesome. Thank you. What do I do with that? What does that mean? Like, my entire life is in Kansas City. I built an entire career and I have an entire identity of all of the things I want to do is there. I never had an intention to move home. Nothing was wrong with home. I loved home. But I was like, I've been there. I've done that. I'm going off into doing these things. And he said, and that's all he said. That was the beginning of my vision. There wasn't some big grandiose thing. It was just, here's exactly what I did. And so I started sitting with him and asking him questions about, what does that mean? What does that look like? There was so much uncertainty, which usually comes when the calls come in, right? You have so many questions and uncertainty, and it can be a little scary, if I'm being honest. But as you sit with him, he's going to kind of show you, and that is step two. So step one is accepting the call. Step two is preparing for the journey, right? You're not going to go out to a hiking expedition without properly preparing, right? There's rough terrain. You're going to get out there. You're not going to go out there before you prepare.
Jen, I wanted to just, I know you didn't you didn't mention this a lot. You were in the executive world up there. You worked for an big insurance company.
Farmers Insurance.
And you actually were trained. I mean, you were fairly high positioned. And so for you to leave that, it just didn't, because when you guys moved down here, I watched you struggle.
Yes.
And you know, I will say it again. It's one thing that I said about us going to Salt Lake City. So many people let their own reasoning get in the way of doing what God says. But I'm going to say this, the pathway to being blessed is doing what he says,
yes.
Because he's got a place for you to be. And he knows that place is the land of blessing. By the end of Abraham's journey, he was super, super wealthy in all ways. And God had fulfilled his word, but he had to obey without reasoning because this did not make sense to him. His family chased him down. He didn't know this stuff. And so I wanted to say that a lot of times we reason out. And I'm sure the reasoning in your head had to just be crazy wild.
Absolutely. And I didn't add this part, but I kept trying to find ways. Well, I can work at home or I can do this. I mean, every reason. Well, this is fine. I'll still go there, but I'm going to still keep this. And he kept saying no. And I was like, I don't understand. Why? And he knew why. He knew where my identity was wrapped. He knew exactly what I needed to do. He knew I needed time off to really detox and really spend the time with him. I literally argued with him for 2 hours on a drive back to Kansas City. He's like, you're going to put your notice in today. I'm like, no, I'm not. You're going to put your notice in today. No, I'm not. I just kept going. He never stopped. And that day I put my notice in because I was like, okay, You win. You win.
And I want to show a difference between church growth world where nothing gets done and an actual pathway of our Father. You showed up here. So many times people view church as what the same way I do for our country. It's not what can I do for my country, but what can my country do for me? How can I benefit off of our government? And a lot of times we think this way, and we show up in church, and to be honest with you, we're so sought after. It's a business. It's almost like we're so sought after that when you show up, man, they just pull out the red carpet and everything, and they'll do whatever it takes to keep you in a church. And I don't do that in this church. I don't hunt people down. If you decide that someplace else is what you're supposed to do, I'm happy for you. If that's where you're supposed to go, I'm happy for you. I don't chase people down. I don't worry. I always consider you part of us, because if you come here for a little bit, you go somewhere else for a little bit, you want to come back here? Dude, come on back. I'm happy for you. If you got offended here and you think, you know what, I'm still where I'm supposed to be, come back. We don't give a crap. I've been offended over you multiple times. And so we don't care. I just don't care. I don't get caught up in that. You showed up and you said, where can I help? And you were from the corporate world. And if you go back, she started putting vision posters up and time dating them and timetables. And then we hit a place where we didn't know where to go. And Jen had other places she was supposed to be. And she could have very, very easily been offended, because she would send texts out. Hey guys, could we meet at this time? And sometimes we wouldn't answer because we didn't know. And it's a place, I'm telling you, so, because sometimes we walk into a place and go, well, I had a vision, pastor didn't see it, I asked him to meet with me, I had a word, and he must not love me, I guess I'm not supposed to be there. We rationalize where we're supposed to be. There are people who God assigns, especially to this house, and I'm looking for some of them to come back. Because where God tells you to be is your blessed place. If you're supposed to be somewhere else, you need to go be there because it's your blessed place. But where God tells you to be is your blessed place. And you watch your life. I never said easy. It's your blessed place. And Jen, I watched her come in, never got offended, never looked at me wrong. I didn't come in and meet Jen and I go, Jen, how you doing? And she goes, oh, I'm okay, I'm okay. It just happens. I never worried about that because she came here to serve. How can I add to the house? This is an apostolic house. We all have a part. This is not a one man. This is a team right here. And we all have gifts and a part, and we need to go forward with them. And she just wanted her gift to go forward. And when there's a roadblock, she just said, maybe we're not supposed to go there right now, but she came to serve, and I loved the way she came in. So I wanted to bring that out, Jen.
No, thank you. I think it's really good. And it was a lot of learning for me, because I'm like, well, let's just go. Let's execute. We have it on the wall right now. So I was learning, too, of really following the Holy Spirit and what the Lord has called and his timetable, not mine, because I like to drive. Oh,
next week too, so I'm going to say this. When you said about control, which I think it's really important, I heard the Lord say this, that many times we control because we don't trust ourselves.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, Pat was talking about how the Holy Spirit moves here. That one of the things that we advocate and want to really facilitate, I say, I don't know how you teach it, honestly, but where people can learn to follow the Holy Spirit and really hear his voice, because it says, my sheep know my voice and they don't hear. Jesus said that, my sheep know my voice, they don't hear the voice of a stranger. So I believe a big part of that journey, especially in the beginning when it's really vague, is that journey of you learning to hear his voice and trusting that, and trusting your spirit to connect with the Holy Spirit, that you are really hearing him. And that if you follow a way that might not look as prosperous, he'll lead you right, and you're probably gonna read with much afraid later, you'll follow right through it and you'll catch on. And so I wanted to really emphasize that, for people to not be afraid that you can't trust your spirit to hear his spirit.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good. And I think that's the part, as you're preparing the journey or just in your walk with him, spending the time is where you're going to get to that place that you're saying, because you're going to know and you're going to watch it walk out right in front of you. So then anything else that's trying to contradict it, you're like, no, it cannot contradict this. So step two was prepare for the journey. And this is probably where I'll slowly kind of wrap up here. We've done a lot today. You would not go on a journey without proper preparation, right? We were talking about if you went hiking or you were going out on expedition, you're going to make sure that you are physically fit, right? I hope so. Otherwise, that might not go well. So if you're going to go out on this journey with the Lord, you need to be spiritually fit. And that's as simple as spending time with him. That's as simple as that. It's sitting with him. And then when you're preparing for this journey, we pack our bags, right? Okay, so what do we probably put in our bag? Okay, well, yes, for the physical one. For the spiritual journey, what are you putting in your backpack? Yes. Pray your book. Absolutely. So I guess we're going to physical and spiritual. That's fine. I've talked about both. But yes, we can put those in. But a lot of times we also stack other stuff on top, right? We might be putting a little bit of worry in there, a little sprinkle of doubt in there, a little bit of questions in there, a little bit of I want to take control in there. And so all that weighs our backpack down. And the Lord said, take on my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:30. So all you have to do is take him. That's all you have to take. His pack, when you take him, is full of love and grace and limitlessness. There is no bounds. There is no structure. It's limitlessness, trust and guidance. And he, and you hit on this, and this is so funny. This scripture, as I'm getting ready to read it, was the beginning of this message, and the Lord placed it right where it was supposed to go and not be the title. He is a light to our path. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. Do you know what fills the lamp? Intimacy. I had studied this and studied this and studied this, and I was having lunch with a friend, and all of a sudden it hit me. When you have a lamp, what do you have to do with it? You have to fill it up, but what else? And you have to carry it. You have to hold it as you're walking. It's in your hand. He says, don't go anywhere without me. I'm your light. You get to choose to pick up that lamp as you're walking out your journey. And that choice is the time with him. It's spending time intimately with him. And I will tell you, as I prepared for my journey, I spent hours with him. Hours where I was just sitting and I walked through deep healing places that I didn't even know were there. Because I knew that he had called me to a place and I needed to spend time preparing. The only way I could do that was with him. I have this book. So as you guys know, I love books. Love to write in them. I love to write books. But this was my first journal, and it started in 2018, and I filled it up pretty quickly. And as I would sit with him, I would write the words he spoke over me, the words he spoke over this region, the body of Christ. He would be giving me things, and I would write them in. And when I'm going to go into this next week, when you get to the place sometimes where you're discouraged, do you know what I pull out? This book. This book tells me everything he said, Julie, just, it is true. Every time you run up to a contradiction, it is true. These are his words. So we have the word. The word is a lamp to our feet, and it's what should be feeding us, and I'm going to get in this next week as well. But these are words too. I brought Kleenexes up here. He wants us to detox so we are ready for what he has called us to. say it again. He wants us to detox so we are ready for what he has called us to. We've lived a life full of experiences and culture and all of these things of world systems. And he's saying, go higher. Go higher. You don't have to live with that world system. He's broken me out of so many things, whether it was finances, it was having insurance. All the things that I thought, back to corporate, I go there, I make a name for myself, I work on it, I build the resume, I retire from there, every benefit, every bit of security is wrapped into that. And you know what he said? Throw it away. I'm like, but where's my security? He was wanting me to chase after him because he's my security. It hasn't been easy, and there have been bumps, and I'm sure I'll write books and talk more about what those were. Because people sometimes can look at your life and go, she's got it. It's easy. Sometimes people say things, and they're blessing you with encouragement, and I love that, but I'm like, man, you don't see all that's back here. And I know that I'm called. I would love, as Bob, I laughed when you were saying this earlier, I would love to set my farm and just write. But he says, you've walked through things, and I've called you to help people walk through them too.
Jen, I want you to expound on that? Because sometimes when we're obedient, we think it's just going to be this red carpeted way with rose petals and people along the side cheering you on and patting you on the back. But sometimes it's just gritting your teeth and wondering how you're going to get through tomorrow. The oppression on your mind. God's wanting something deep inside of you that is a hurt that needs to be healed before you can go on, because the wound makes your heart not a full strength. And a lot of times we think that when we answer the call out of obedience, it's going to be this easy path. Sometimes it's not. I know you talked about some healing that you went on. Did you think, what the heck did I do at some point?
Yeah, no, Bob, I think it's so good. And I think it's the deep works. And then I think it's the like little pieces that he's just shaving off of you, because he's a good father and he wants to prepare you because he knows what he's called you into. And he wants you to take the time. And for me, one of them I've shared in testimony was my brother. At a very young age, I was 18, he was 16, he was taken. And I didn't understand. And I sat with him a whole night, holding his hand, only to have to wake up and make a decision with my parents the next day to turn off his life support. And at that place, you're wondering, why? I don't understand. And for a long time, I had to walk through healing. But the hardest part was my pride. And the sense that I felt I was the only one that could stay with him all night long, and I held that. I held it as a badge. I held it tight and close to my heart, and I was the only one that was there. And the Lord, as he walked me through this very deep, and it was a very intimate time. I was actually up at Prior Mountain, where I'd just been spending time with him all day long, and he took me to such a deep place. And he showed me, and he said, you are not alone. And I saw a vision of myself and six angels, three on each side, standing there. And he said, he was there too. And it was like, oh, it was just a whole nother level of seeing him and knowing that he does not forsake you anywhere you are. He is always there. And that was a deep work. Simple things that he walks you through, right? I had started this job, and I'll kind of get into it next week. And it was new. And my role title is project administrator previously.
And where is this?
In Carthage.
In Carthage.
And so my boss has introduced me to people, and we're at a chamber coffee, and she goes, yeah, this is my assistant, Jen. And at first I was like, not your assistant, right? I had to walk through it, and then I had to go, why did that bother me? Right? So instead of that, just the little things, instead of getting offended or frustrated, you know, the initial thought's like, well, I had a process, and I was asking the Lord. Yep. And that's kind of going into next week of Daily Manna, but okay. I process with him, why is that there? Why did I even feel a tinge with that?
Yep.
Because he's going deep and he's going small and he's scraping just the little tiny things out.
Yep.
Because he knows what he's called you for.